the message today, Deal or No Deal. And if you're here today and you're searching, and I just want to tell you, Jesus Christ is a real deal. He changed my life as a hell-raising teenager. He saved my drunk mama. And my mother's life was radically changed. She still has an impact on my life today, though she was murdered 13 years ago on Thanksgiving Eve, the evening before Thanksgiving. And next week in the message, I'm going to give the message on my mother's life. Being real regardless. Being real regardless. Being real regardless. What happens when being real causes you to look down the barrel of a .357 Magnum and you're shot six times, murdered, left dead in the floor? That's what happened to my mother. I'm going to tell you that story next week. And the interesting thing is I'm going to introduce you to my mother. I'm going to tell you about her life. And I'm going to tell you about the pain, the struggle, the agony she lived through with an abusive husband next week. Got some pictures next week we'll show you. Hopefully I have a picture of my mother and some pictures of Rockingham, North Carolina, and the church, my house I grew up in, the church we were saved in. Being real regardless. What happens when being real costs you something? In her case, her life for Jesus Christ. She'd still be alive today. But I'm convinced that when my stepdad pulled that gun on her, she said, "You can't threaten me with heaven." And then God gave me a message in the car with Pastor Metz and my wife and family on the way home from the funeral years ago. I'm riding that car and I was like, how could Mama smile? How could Mama still go to church? How could Mama do the things Mama did? You know what I mean? It was just clear as a whistle. 4 points. Next week, I'm going to tell you how my mama made it and how you can make it next week. How you can be real regardless. They're not big highfalutin fancy points because mama wasn't that way. But next week for the message, I hope that you'd invite somebody. You know, it's not every day you can hear a message, a real story, a real life story of somebody that gave their life for Jesus Christ, who's impacted my life. And quite frankly, she's impacted your lives. Did you know that? Amen. And her work's still going. You know what I mean? She would love Fellowship Church. She'd love to come in here, and she would light up that back door if she walked in. Smile on her face, and you wouldn't know the night before she was beaten. How can you do that? We're going to tell you next week. I'm excited about it. We'll be videotaping like we do all our sermons. I'm so excited about being able to have my mother's story on DVD so I can just give it away. You know what I mean? It's going to be exciting. So be here next week. Invite somebody. I've already had some folks telling me they're trying to get some people to come that are sort of hard nuts to crack, you know, sort of people like me. Amen. But it's a real story. So I hope that you'll come out. This week, though, is how to really be like God. We got to put it into warp speed. And here we go, Raj. How to really be like God. Do you want to know? Say, you want to know how to really be like God today? I mean, really? Say. I mean, really. I'd like to really be like God. Not the games, but really be like Him. We're going to find out right here. How to really be like God. Last time we saw how we and others can tell if we're the real deal. We played Deal or No Deal last week. And we saw 5 things. Quite frankly, these 5 things, I didn't do too good at. Had one brother tell my wife that he only did good on one of them. That was the one on money. He did good at that one because he's a giver, but all those other ones he just stunk at. Doesn't mean you're saved or not saved if you're not showing forth these things. It just means that the world that's looking at you doesn't see you as the real deal. And we're on this journey. We are on this journey to show others that we really are serious, that we really do love Jesus Christ. Yeah, we still got warts and wrinkles and we flub up, but He didn't flub up. And we love Him and we follow Him. Yeah, and we give to His work. Yeah, we're like that. Sure. And we read the Bible. We pray. Why? Because somebody told us to? No, because it's the right thing to do. Do you hear me today? You hear me? So these were the 5 things real fast. We can tell personally if we're the real deal by our morals. We saw it last week. Put away lying. Speak every man truth to his neighbor. Remember one of another. We don't have good morals to get us to heaven. We try to do the morally right thing because we're Christians and we're growing in grace and it's the right thing to do. And do right, period. Amen? And you show forth that. By our moods. Be angry and sin not. Let the sun go down not upon your wrath. You fly off the handle all the time. Wah! Yeah, He loves Jesus. Don't show it. Or you're always down. Always down. Always negative. It doesn't show a lost and dying world. They don't want what you got. It'll kill them. Amen? You know? So by our moods. I struggle with this one. By our money. Money is a barometer on your soul. Money, man, you make it, then it's yours to give, to help somebody else, to help support ministry, to help build a future facility. It's a real barometer on what's down inside of you. Tell you what, it shows a lot about you, how you deal with your money. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him work so he can have money to give. By our mouth. Now, I'm not talking about I love Jesus. I'm talking about what comes out of your mouth when you ain't telling people about you loving Jesus. Amen? That is a, people can tell if you're deal or no deal. Right? Say. How many have just really said something before and you just screwed up your testimony with some folks? Can I see your hands? Yeah? You worked hard, you tried to live life, and all of a sudden you opened up your mouth. That's the way it is, deal or no deal. Don't let any corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but that which is good for the use of edifying, it may minister grace to the hearers. So we saw that. And then finally, by our manners. The verse, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Being ill-mannered, having a mean spirit, not being grateful, thankful, kind, yes ma'am, no ma'am. But that's a good thing. People say to me, you don't have to say yes ma'am to me. I'm not that old. But tough. That's the way I was raised. We call it back where I come from, good manners. Amen? I don't know if you raised your children like that or not. My children to this day say, yes sir, no sir. Yes ma'am, no ma'am. Now I don't know if they're going to continue on. That's their choice. But that's the way they were raised. Amen? Why? Is that going to get them to heaven? No. But it might help them with a job interview. Amen? It just might help them in a lot of areas in their life, just saying the right thing, being good-mannered. People can tell who you are by your manners, man. Now let's keep moving. Deal or no deal, how to really be like God. How to be like God. You and I will never be God. Can you say that with me? You and I will never be God. Regardless of what the Mormons and the Scientologists teach. I don't care if Tom Cruise was just made head of United Artists. He ain't God. Amen? Even if he does have a pretty baby, he ain't God. I don't care what your religion teaches. You know, no, I don't care how many psychology classes he's taken, you know? You ain't God. We're never going to be God, friend, but we can be like God. Are you hearing me? You're not going to be God. A lot of religions teach that you're going to be God. You ain't. Newsflash. God is God and we are not. And you ain't never going to be. We're going to worship Him forever. We're going to glorify Him forever. He is God. We are not. But we can be like God. Keep looking. One day we're going to be like Jesus. Relating, that is, to His glorified body. His eternal body. 1 John 3:2 says this. Beloved, now we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, say it with me, we shall be like, for we shall see Him as He is. So we are going to be like Jesus as it relates to His glorified body. We're going to have a body like His, but we are not going to be God. Okay? You're not going to be God, I'm not going to be God. But I'm going to be like Jesus one day. But what about now? Can I be, are y'all with me so far, hanging in here? How are you? Can we be like God right now? Can we be like God right now? Like Him. Not Him, but like Him on planet Earth. That's what I want. The answer is yes. Yes, you can be like God. And it is a command in the Scripture for us to be this way. It's not a suggestion. It's not a suggestion. You are commanded to be like God. And I'm commanded to be like God. So let's see what He is like. Let's figure it out. We continue our series. Last week we looked at the last several verses of chapter 4 of Ephesians. Now we continue on in chapter 5, verse 1. We ain't skipped a verse yet in this series. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. We're moving, Raj. Followers of God literally means imitators of God. That's what that word means. Followers of God literally means imitators of God. In the Greek, and I don't get there a lot, but in the Greek, the word is mimetes. Mimetes, which means to mimic. To mimic. Did you know you're supposed to mimic God? Yes or no? You are. You're supposed to mimic God. What God does, that's what you and I are supposed to do. We see Him doing that. We mimic that. And we do that. But we got to do it from a real heart. And for the real reason. So let's see what that is. We are to mimic God. That's the plan of God. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 14, as obedient children, not fasting yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Read that verse 16 with me. Because it is written, say it with me, be ye holy, for I am holy. Okay? We are to mimic God, and God is holy. Now that's so important for us to understand that God's goal for every Christian is holiness. Could you say that with me as well? I got to get some help this morning. God's goal for every Christian is holiness. What's God's will for my life? That is God's will for your life. We worry about going here or doing this or buying that. Boy, I tell you what, you ought to park it right there. That's God's goal for your life. It's amazing as you're on that road to that goal of being like Him, wanting to be holy like He is. You're not going to be God, but you can be like Him. It's amazing how those decisions start coming to be made a little easier because you're on that path to holiness. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's His goal for our life. Holiness. Keep looking. Your children will never be like you if you never spend any time with them. That's what's wrong so much with America. Dads. Deadbeat dads have checked out on their kids. And they don't even know what their dad's like. Heard a radio story the other day. And the little kids were, they answered the phone and there was nobody on the other end. And they talked to each other. The kids were like, I think it's daddy. I think it's daddy. They had never heard from their dad. Listen, if we parents don't spend time with our kids are never going to be like us. Amen? But here's the other point. Here's the bigger point. I'm trying to make a point, and that is this. If you don't spend time with God, you'll never be like Him. That's the key here. I want to be like God, preacher man, but I don't want to read the Bible. Tough, you ain't going to be like Him. You hearing me today? Well, I'll go down by the beach and sit on the seashore and hum. That'll only go so far, Jack. Hug a tree, baby. That'll only go so far. Oh, I love you, God. Now what? You know what I mean? Here's how we imitate God. Here's how we are followers of God. It comes to spending time with Him, and we spend time with Him by reading and meditating His Word on His Word. That's the bottom line. I thought I was going to hear something fancy today, preacher. It ain't fancy. That's why regular folk like us can get it done. Amen? Read the Bible. Look at some scriptures. I keep hammering this. Psalm 119:11, Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. What's the opposite? It seems like if I don't hide His Word in my heart, I'm going to sin against God. You know what I mean? How about this one? Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. What's the opposite? If I don't have the Word in me, I'm going to be in the dark. I'm going to be tripping. I'm going to be going down the wrong road. Not the road to holiness. The Word of God's quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, the joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of my heart. If you want to really get to know yourself and who you are and what page you're on, you got to get in the book. Amen? The Bible doesn't mess around. It tells you straight up who you are, what you're like. It tells you of its favorite characters, and even it gives you their flaws. And you can learn and you can grow. That's what it's about. I put this one up today, Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more you see the day approaching. Why do we come to church? To impress our neighbors? No. Why do I come to church? So I can learn to be more like God. Amen? That's why I come. I had a young man tell me last week. He blessed me. He told us how that this ministry has helped save his marriage. And I praise the Lord for that. Amen? And then he said this. He said, I try to do what you say. I try to do what you say. Boy, that puts me on the spot, doesn't it? I better be trying to say the right thing from up here. Amen? And you might not like some of the things I say, but you know what? At the end of the day, I don't care if I'm saying the right thing. Now, if I'm saying the wrong thing, I should be ashamed of myself. But if I'm saying the right thing, you need to get with the program. Amen? Because this really matters, man. So this assembling together. Why do we have home fellowships? So you can grow and get to know what God is like. Do you see what I'm saying? That's why we do the things that we do. How to really be like God. We're getting somewhere. We must know, if we're going to be like Him, what God is like. And we're doing good on time. So hang in here with me. Here we go. So, preacher, what is God like? Here it is. Be ye therefore followers of God. What does followers mean? It means to what God? Mimic Him. Mimic Him. Imitate Him. Follow Him. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Be ye therefore. Can you say that with me? Be ye therefore. Now, we've said this before. When you read the Bible and you see the word therefore, we need to ask the question, say it with me, why is it therefore? Anytime you see a therefore in the Bible, if you'll just ask yourself, why is that therefore? It's there for a reason. And it usually, for you to find out, you've got to go back to a previous verse or verses to find out why it's therefore. So let's do that. So Ephesians 5:1 says, be therefore imitators of God as dear children. But wait a minute. I got to look back. I got to look back at a previous verse, which would be for what? Pop it up, 32. Sometimes it takes more verses to figure out what it's saying. But look at 4:32. I'm trying to be like God. That's my message today. And be ye what? Kind one to another. Be what? Tenderhearted. Be what? Forgiving one another. Let's look at that last part. Even as who? God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. So now let's keep moving. Pop it up. Here we go. Deal or no deal? Here we go. Let's play the game. A little bit different than last week. We're going to do it a little different. You'll see what we're doing. Here we go. Deal or no deal? Case number one. How to be like God. How to be like God. You want to be like God? Yes or no? Come on, help me here. Yes or no? You be like God? Here it is, right there. Boom, pop the case. God is kind. God is kind. What does that mean? God ain't mean. I thought God was mean, going to hit me in the head with a bat. No, He ain't. God gave His Son for you. God loves you to pieces. God is nice. Did you hear me today? Say, you want to be like God? Be kind. If you're not kind, you're not like God. Does that make sense? Say, well, I don't feel like it. Well, you're not like God. That's your choice. Be kind. Be kind to other people. Reach out, care, show concern, do that little extra effort. How about a thank you? Amen? Would God say thank you? Yes. Jesus would say thank you. I really appreciate that. That's what Jesus would do. So what is God like? This isn't rocket science. Here it is. How can I be like God? Be kind. It's interesting, though. You'll notice God didn't say judge. Does God judge people? Yes or no? Sure He does. Matter of fact, He said that all judgment's been given to His Son Jesus, so Jesus is the ultimate judge. But you know, God's not asking you to do something you can't do to follow Him. Isn't it funny how we judge people? Say. And we make excuses for it, but that ain't like God. God says you can't judge because you don't see what I see. You can't see everything going on like I can. So instead of fooling around with judging and being a nut, do this. Do what you can do. Amen? What can I do? I can be kind. I can be kind. Look at me. I can be kind like God. Amen. That's great. Did you know when you were kind, you're being kind, you're like God? Did you ever know that before? Say, that's what you're like. You're like God. I'm being like God by being kind. What if somebody says an ugly word to you? That's when you are kind, man. Somebody always nice to you. Now, I'm kind to them. No, you ain't. You're just acting normal. Jesus, when He was reviled, He reviled not again. When He was on the cross, He didn't open His mouth, did He? Say, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter for us. Amen? He humbled Himself. So be kind. Let's see the second thing. What is God like? Say it with me. God is tender. Hearted. What's the opposite of tender-hearted? Cold-hearted. What's cold-hearted? I could care less what you're going through. I don't want to hear it. You probably deserve it. You know what I'm saying? Well, that ain't nothing. You ought to hear what I went through. You know what I'm saying? After my mother was murdered, I preached. First sermon I preached was a sermon I'm giving next Sunday morning. Different, though. 13 years ago. First sermon I preached after her death. So it was a hard one. And after I preached that night, some lady came up to me and she said, I lost my mama too. And you'll get over it in time. Her mama was 90-something years old. Her mama died, had a long life. Her mama had a full life. Not to say she didn't love her mama. Her mama wasn't shot six times. I thought that was cold-hearted, not kind-hearted. I think she should have shut up. Do you see what I'm saying? Tender-hearted. What does that mean? Plug the old brain in before you talk to somebody who's hurting. Does that make any sense? And she probably meant well. After that same message, a man came up to me and said, I can see you're still angry and full of bitterness. Let me out of here! You gotta get away from these people. They're killing me, man. How do you feel after your mother shot six times? You think you're gonna be a little ticked off, say? I thought I handled myself pretty good. My point is, be tender. Are you hearing me today? I'm not good at being tender all the time. My wife, thank God for her, she gets on to me. But that's what I'm supposed to be tender. Amen? Why? Because that's the way God is. You hearing me? When we're tender-hearted, when we reach out, when we care for people, I'm not saying you got to use your brain. I mean, if people are just taking all the time, you can't go down that path constantly. But the point is, when there's a need, we ought to be tender towards people. We ought to care. We ought to have a heart. It ought not to just be some mask we put on. We ought to really care. God really cares. Look at the third thing, and that is God is forgiving. Can you say that? God is... How about this? I think of a couple of verses when I think of this. What is God like? Romans 5:8, but God commended his love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen? That's God. I think of when I think of this point, I think of 1 John 1:9. If you know it, say it with me. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What does the Bible say when we ask his forgiveness? He cast it as far as the what? East is from the... And he remembers it no more. He buries it in the what? The depths of the... It's easy for you and I to forget, but you ain't God. We ain't God. Can you imagine God who knows everything? He forgives us and he forgets stuff for us. Amen? That's what God's like. So if we hold grudges, that's not what God is like. God is forgiving. Who do you forgive? People that have wronged you or people who haven't wronged you? Somebody tell me. People who have wronged us. Well, I can't forgive them. They wronged me. Well, that's why you forgive them, man. That's what God's like. You don't forgive people that ain't done anything wrong to you. See, God's forgiving. But you can't understand what they did to me. That's the whole idea. They were supposed to do something to you for you to forgive them. You know what I'm saying? It might not be pleasant, but if they never did anything to you, you couldn't be like God. So next time somebody does something to you, go, praise Jesus, I get to be like God. That's sort of a sick mentality I've got, isn't it? I know I'm looking at people going, you're crazy, man. Forgiving. All right, so that's what God is like. Pop it up, Raj. And ultimately, God is love. That's what all this is. A person who is kind, a person who is tender-hearted, a person who is forgiving is like God. For God is what? Love. Look at some scriptures. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. He's given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Ephesians 5:2. 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not because it knew him not. 1 John 4, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knows not God. Why? For God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because it God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him, Jesus Christ. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And he sent his Son to be the propitiation or the sacrifice, the one to take our place for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. What is God like? God is love. How does he show his love? Three ways. He is kind. He is tender-hearted. He is forgiving. That is how you be like God. Well, I want to be like him in another way. I want to part Red Seas and walk on water. Ain't happening. Kind, tender-hearted, forgiving. That's what God is like. Now, let's finish it here. Okay? If you're anything like me, that sounded okay. But I need the opposite sometime to help me. I need to see the ugly side to get the good side. And it goes on, and here's what it says. That might not make sense to you, but think it through. So what is God not like? What is God not like? In the very next verse, here's what it says. Watch it. But fornication, all uncleanness, covetousness, say that with me, let it not be once named among you as becomes. Now what is God's goal for our life? Holiness, becoming saints. Amen? He says, this should not be once named among us. This is what God is not like. So let's pop it up. Here we go. We saw the deal, kind, tender-hearted, forgiving. God is love. No deal. Pop it up. Number one, fornication. What is that? Why is that there? What is fornication? Pop it up. Let's see the first one. It's a counterfeit love. It's a counterfeit love. God wants us to have a real love. Fornication, I'm going to get into this. It's a little ugly. Go ahead and pop up some of these points. It's illicit sexual activity. A lot of people having sex. Oh, I love you. No, you don't. You don't love like God. If you really love Him, why don't you wait till you get married? Say. Huh? What if you don't get married? And they end up getting married, and they were sleeping with you, and while they're sleeping now with their husband, they're thinking about you. Is that a good thing, glorifying Jesus? Amen? Uh-uh. You see what I'm saying? Fornication is a false kind of counterfeit kind of love, but we think it's love. Oh, it felt good. It ain't love. Okay? Keep looking. It's sex outside of marriage. Keep looking. It's adultery. All these things fit under there. How many well-meaning people have went off and had an affair with somebody? Oh, I love them. No, you don't. You certainly don't love that wife, sir. I mean, that husband, sir, of that woman you're cheating with. Are you hearing me today? Oh, I love her, but you must hate his ever-living guts, don't you? To screw up his life, are you hearing me today? That's a little ugly, ain't it? Just in case you're doing that and you're thinking, I'm like God. No, you are not like God. It needs to be stopped. It's horrible. God doesn't want you to live life like that, especially if you say you're a Christian. That's no deal. It's unnatural sexual behavior. It's a cover word for all kinds of sexual, illicit sexual behavior. And God says, don't let it once be named among you. That sounds like don't even try it, right? You know what it sounds like to me? Don't do it. Okay? So often we confuse fornication with real love. It what? Ain't. And I don't want to hurt you, but I could get a real show of hands in here and we could have some real times in this building where you would say, Pastor, you're right. It broke my heart. It killed me. I'm still not over it yet. Are you hearing me today? That's not what God is like. I didn't write the Bible. He did. If you've got a problem with it, that's a good thing. I mean, if we knew it all, we wouldn't need Him, right? I've learned so many things as I've become a Christian over the years. I used to didn't think it was anything wrong with using God's name in vain. GD and F and all these kinds of horrible words I would use. It was no problem. Why? Because I didn't really think it was a problem. Until I realized, let no filthy communication come out of your mouth, Clark. And I went, whoops. And God started helping me. So we need help. Okay, this destroys. This is not. Love builds. Kindness helps. This doesn't help anyone. It destroys. God isn't like this at all. Keep moving. Next thing. Second thing he said that we're not to be like. Unclean. Uncleanness. What does that mean? Pop it up. Here's what it means. It describes decaying bodies in a tomb. That's what the actual Greek word means. Decaying bodies in a tomb. So it don't smell good to me. It's a disgusting, degrading, and defiling behavior. I don't want to get too raunchy. But it's a horrible thing going on among our young people today. Girls are asked to perform certain kinds of acts and things like that. If you really love me. I would be all for girls getting ball bats and busting those suckers right upside the head. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'll buy the bat. Now, I'll get in trouble for that, won't I? I won't buy the bat. No bat. I did give you the idea. No, I'm sorry. Hey, it's horrible! Things that are unclean, things that make somebody feel degraded, things that make somebody feel nasty or dirty. Does that sound like tender-hearted or no? Say, don't, does it? Why would, if we're like God and we're tender-hearted, would we want anybody to do anything that's unclean? And if you really care about yourself, why would you want to do something that's unclean and nasty and dirty? God says, that's not me. That's not me. I don't want to do that to you. I don't want to do that to you. I love you. I love you. It's okay. I love you like you are. You don't have to do anything unnatural or crazy or anything. No. Are you hearing me today? Next. It stinks. God isn't like that. What's the third case? These are ugly cases, ain't it? Let's look at this one. Covetousness. What does this have to do with what God is not like? Well, He just isn't like this at all. But we are. What is covetousness? It refers to greed. Keep looking. Get all I can. It's all about me. What I feel, make me feel good. Was God about get all He could, or was God about give all He could? Say it with me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. See what I'm saying? If we're greedy, if it's all about us, what do I get out of it? Do you see how that's not like God? Say, that's not like God. God is forgiving. He is caring. He's like reaching out a hand to you to help you, not to reach out a hand and take what's in your hand. Covetousness, you know what covetousness is? Here's what it is. It is looking at what somebody else has and wanting what they have. But it's worse than that. And then it's saying in your heart, they don't deserve it. They shouldn't have it. I should have it. I had a businessman, a very wealthy businessman. I got to quit. But I had a businessman, a very wealthy businessman, who spoke evil against me because as I would minister and work, I also, in some spare time, would work on a house or fix up a little house I had. And would usually use that for missionaries and things like that. Okay? I like to work. Okay? That is good for my head. It's good for my heart. Here's a rich guy, loaded, coming after me. What little bit I got ain't nothing. And trying to do that in my life. And that's just it's a picture of covetousness. I don't know if you get that or not. And by the way, I'll tell you something. I still do that. I worked all day yesterday on a little guest house I have. John came over on Friday, and he and I were able to work together. And by the way, if you don't like a pastor that does that, you'll probably need to find another one, because that's what I do. I'm not going to quit doing things because you didn't do it that way or you don't like that. I'm just not going to do that. I do things, and I like to have peace in my life. Are you hearing me today? Say. It's amazing. You just don't reach a world a lot of times by sitting in a church office. I get out. I do things. I enjoy that. But to want people to not do something so you can have or do something, it's just crazy kind of thinking. I don't know if you got the story. I tried my best. Next, it's about me. Greed. Next, it's self-centered. It's all about me. God says, that ain't me. I'm not like that. Who cares about you? You're nothing. That's what greed does. That's what covetousness does. This hurts. So we're done this morning. Raj, pop it up. Deal or no deal? Here we go. How to really be like God? How can I be like God this morning? Let's look at them. Here they go. Case one. Say it with me, would you? Kind. That one. Fornicator. I'm serious as a heart attack. If you're here today, if you're watching me on TV or you're listening on the radio, and you're sleeping with somebody else's wife or their husband, you're not like God. You're like Satan. Did you hear me today? Don't tell me how much you love that person, because obviously you have some deep dislike for that other person. Are you hearing me today? Say. If you're having sex outside of marriage, don't tell me you love that person. If you love that person, then come in line and do the right thing and want to do the right thing. Confess that. Be right with God. That's not the right thing to do.
God is not like that. Number two, look at it. Say it with me. Tender-hearted. What's that case? Unclean. To have anybody do anything that's not right, that's nasty, that's defiling, that's degrading, is horrible. God's not like that. He is all about clean. Amen? Let's do it the right way. That's God. He's not like that. He is tender-hearted. He does not degrade anyone. Next. Say it with me. Forgiving. What's the other word? Covetousness. You know what this says? This says, it's not all about me, and yeah, I was hurt. But guess what? I can forgive. I can move on. This says, I'm angry. I'm going to get even. I'm going to break their neck. You know what I'm saying? That's what it says. I want what they have. Even if you got plenty, you still ain't got enough. You want what somebody else has. You want to judge and be looking over other people. This is loving. That's lustful. Did you catch that? Say, God is love. Satan is lust. God is love. You and I in the flesh are full of lust. So how can I really be like God? God is love. Finally, the banker. The Bible says we're going to give an account to God. And the question is this, are you really like God? I want you to answer that question today. Are you really like God? Well, Gary, nobody can be like God. That's a lie. You can be like God. Amen? Can we be kind? Yes. Can we be tenderhearted? Yes. Can we forgive? Yes. Amen? So that's a lie. You can be like God. That's a cop-out. Are you like God today?